Beyond the Beauty is a production of iHeartRadio. I'm your host, Bobby Brown. Style to me is different than trends, different than fashion. Fashion is a whole nother thing. I've worked with many stylists in my career, both behind the scenes at fashion shoots and on brand shoots. I've had different stylists in my closets. Why I keep going back to Deb Watson is not just that she is so talented, so funny, but she is really honest, really truthful, and she kind of yells at me for wearing the same clogs. Deb Watson started her fashion career working at Ralph Lauren. She was there for 11 years. When she left Ralph Lauren, she became a freelance stylist. She has literally worked with everybody from top photographers to actresses, campaigns. She has dressed everyone from Emily Ratajkowski to Taylor Hill to Robert Pattinson to Dakota Fanning to Jessica Biel. I mean, she's worked with everybody. She's really talented. She has a very cool style. She can look at your body and know that a certain style will elongate it, or a certain style will hide something. Here's my conversation with Deborah Watson. First of all, there's no camera here, but I wish people could see how cool you look. So I will describe it. Deborah Watson is wearing a red sweater. It's, how do you describe the...
It's kind of like a teddy bear. Yeah, you look fuzzy thing.
It's a Chanel. Okay. There's there's two big CCs on it. And it looks like a teddy bear sweater that only someone, how tall are you?
5'11.
5'11 could get away with. And she is wearing vegan leather. You're not vegan.
No, but my pants are.
Okay, but her pants
are vegetarian.
Vegan. Oh, you are vegetarian?
Yes, I am.
And her shoes are Gucci sneakers with rhinestones.
Yes.
Like, explain, they don't get messed up, the rhinestones?
No, it's weird. They're really well constructed and well made because they're like chained on. So as soon as I saw them, I was like, these are literally me in a sneaker.
Yeah.
So I like a practical, decadent kind of item. So
practical, decadent.
That's kind of sums me up.
It does, but I never heard that before. Did you make that up?
Well, I've often said that I'm like a decadent utilitarian because when people ask me, you know, about my style, there has to be some kind of functionality to part of it, not the whole look. But, you know, if I'm running around doing errands, going to showrooms, meeting with people, I kind of, you know, I always have to look somewhat together, even if I'm setting up in the studio with my assistant or whatever it is. But I, you know, I'm a stylist. I love clothes. I love getting dressed. I enjoy the process. So even when I'm rushed, I try to pull it together.
And are you a stylist because you love clothes?
I think so. I mean, it kind of happened to me. I, you know, my mom was always really stylish and I grew up like watching her get ready and putting herself together. But it never really occurred to me that that could be like a job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because she was a lawyer. So I just thought like, well, she's a stylish lawyer. But I learned so much watching her put herself together.
So your mom's a big role model?
She is huge. Yeah. I mean, she has influenced every part of my life and still does. I mean, she's the best. I like to call her on my way home from the car.
Aww.
And complain to her and whine. And she listens.
And what does she say? She just listens.
She just listens. She tries to solve all my problems.
Right.
But, you know, and then I say, Mom, you're just supposed to be listening now.
No, but that's so funny you say that because when my kids call, I'm like, you're probably tired. You should go do this. And then my kids get mad at me.
Same.
So I don't want to be like that because I care so much. I want to solve their problems because that's what moms do.
Totally. And my daughters do the same thing, too. I mean, my kids are 12 and 16. And sometimes they'll just say to me, they're so smart. I mean, they'll just say to me, Mom, I'm not asking you to solve the problem. I'm just telling you what's going on. Can't you just listen? And I'm like, oh. Right. That's what I do to my mom. Yeah,
I know. It's kind of scary, isn't it?
It is terrifying.
And are your kids stylish like you are?
They are, let's see. They have fun with clothes, but my older one is definitely more practical. She doesn't care so much about clothes, which I think is so cool. My little one has always been sort of into clothes. She loves to shop and she loves to put looks together. She's always dressed really crazy. My husband got a new laptop and he was sending me these hilarious videos of my youngest one. There was a video where she had on leopard leggings with tie-dye denim shorts over it in the middle of winter because she like refused to take the shorts off. So we let her. But I've always believed that you should let kids express themselves through their clothes. I mean, that's like a really easy, not harmful way to express yourself, you know?
But then what kind of budget do they have?
Oh, no. We don't go there with like Gucci and Balenciaga. My kids love H&M. They like more practical brands. They're not.
Do you wear H&M? Do you wear Zara?
I don't.
You don't. You can't walk into any of those stores and find something that you—
Of course I can.
No, that you think you would like to have.
I can, but I have such a like solid wardrobe in my closet already that the few times that I've tried to do that— I end up
giving it away.
Yeah, giving it away because I realize, like, why did I buy this? Yeah, this white cotton shirt is $12, but I have like a beautiful Ralph Lauren one in my closet. So I need real estate in the closet.
And how did you get your first job at Ralph?
I graduated school.
Where'd you go to college?
Trinity College. So when I finished school, I came back to New York. I was really ready to come back to New York because when you grow up in New York, there is nowhere else that has all of the things that you think everybody has. So I came back and I moved in with my mom and my stepdad for the summer to sort of get back here and figure out what I was going to do. And I was considering law school for the last 2 years of when I was in college. And I even applied to a few because my mom is an attorney and my brother's an attorney. And I thought maybe I would go that way because I really wasn't sure of what direction I wanted to take. And it was actually my stepdad who pointed out to me that maybe what I had was special as far as my style and how I put myself together. And I had never realized that that could be a career. That was kind of the first time I was like, oh, that's like an industry maybe. Because I'm not a designer. I have ideas. I'm more of like an idea person. I like to find things and put things together. And anyway, so he mentioned that to me. And then I was on Madison Avenue. I think I was buying a white polo shirt, to be honest. And I was at the mansion.
You?
For me.
Okay.
Yes.
You wore white polo shirt?
With like my last $40 at the time. I think they're probably a little more now. Yes, I was. Okay. Oh, I was like super preppy in high school. And my college was kind of a little preppy too. Yeah. So I was shopping and one of the salesmen said, you should work here. And I was like, What? And he was like, you should work here. You look like a Ralph Lauren girl and you should like interview. It just got me thinking. I was like, okay. And I literally went downstairs, filled out like an employee form. And then 17 interviews later, I got a job as a salesperson because, you know, I didn't realize I was entering this world of Ralph Lauren and the Rhinelander Mansion had only opened a couple years before that. And it was a big deal to work there. And everybody who worked there was so glamorous and beautiful and dressed so well. So, yeah, so I started working at the mansion in 1990 in the fall.
And then when did you go into Ralph Corporate?
Well, I worked at the store for, I want to say, around a year. I don't even remember. An amazing boss there, a woman by the name of Electra All. And she really put a lot of faith in me to do like little projects and stuff. And I wasn't really the best salesperson, I must admit. So
why were you not the best salesperson?
I don't know. I just wasn't like aggressive and
pushy.
The people there were like professional salespeople. That was like not my thing. So I found that out because it was kind of my first real job, like as a grown-up graduate. Let's see. So I worked in the mansion and, you know, Ralph and his family would come in and shop and things like that. And a few times they were like, oh, you know, Dylan's coming in or Ralph's coming in. Do you want to stay and just help them find stuff and everything? And I was like, of course, like who wouldn't want to meet Ralph Lauren? You know, he's a legend. And so I would help them sometimes. And I would organize things in the store. Like we used to do fun little employee fashion shows. And so that was fun. That was probably the first real styling thing that I did aside from myself. So I did that. And then I also, something that I noticed in the store was that people would call. And remember, this is 1990. People would call the store asking for a specific item that was in an ad, like in the New York Times or GQ or Vogue, and they wouldn't be able to find it at the mansion sometimes. So there wasn't really like a coordination between what was shot and what was in the store, which seemed like a huge missed opportunity to me.
And that's just common sense.
But you have to remember, and you were there for these days, so you will remember, but you know, back in the day, we would go off and shoot, or they would go off and shoot things that maybe weren't even really available or, you know, it was more about the dream and the lifestyle. And so when the ads came out, it was all Ralph Lauren clothing, but some of it may have been sold out or they didn't plan for it or whatever. So I put together a book of all the images that were out there in magazines, whether it was an editorial or an ad, and I put them all in like those clear sleeves that you buy in high school, you know, and I put little stickers on them and labeled them for what was the item and which polo store had them, or if not a polo store, one of the department stores that carried Ralph Lauren. So I put that together for the salespeople as a tool so that when people called, they could take their name and number and then go up to the office and look at, we used to call it the Bible because it had all the information, and figure out how to get the polo shirt that the person wanted or whatever it was to the person. So that was kind of my first foray into like actually marketing in the real world, because I was a business major in school and I concentrated in marketing. So
yeah, and it just made sense.
Totally. To me, right. I was like, what? We're paying like all this money to advertise in New York Times and there's no navy polo shirts or whatever.
Right.
So it was kind of like a weird disconnect back in the day, but like nobody was doing that back in the day.
And how close did you work with Ralph?
Back to Ralph. So one time when I was helping the fam in the store, he just said to me, oh, he said, this look you have on today is amazing. I love your style. Like, are you a designer? What is it that you want to do? And I said, I'm not really a designer, but I love like doing those fashion shows in the store. And I love looking at the pictures from the shoots. And I said to Ralph, like, maybe, you know, advertising would be fun. And I'm not really sure where I belong in this company, but I'm not really a great salesperson. So have any ideas? That day, he said, yeah, well, let me go talk to some people and meet some people down at corporate and let's see where you can fit in. So that was obviously a huge highlight of my life, that he like saw something in me and was willing to figure out where I fit in.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Really cool. So you stayed there for 11 years.
Yeah. I ended up in the advertising department. I stayed there for 11 years and did all of the ads with my team in the 90s.
And then did you know about freelance styling?
No, because we didn't really call ourselves stylists because we were part of the advertising team, you know? So what's great about Ralph is it sort of was graduate school for me, because I learned so much sitting in those meetings at night. You know, we would have advertising meetings. They were kind of after hours, like 6-7 o'clock sometimes, because Ralph's schedule was so overbooked and he actually really enjoys going through the photographs.
Because you are a style icon, you're not an icon yet, but you're a future style icon. And you're certainly my style guru. I mean, I only wish I can get away with what you wear. My husband and my sons would ridicule me.
You have it tough because you live with all dudes.
I mean, let's talk about dressing different sizes. I am 5 foot tall. You're 6 foot tall. I have big boobs. You have small boobs. It's like, it's so much easier for you. So let's talk about different shapes.
Okay.
Let's talk about the easy one first, which is tall, thin.
Oh, you're so funny. It is easier to dress if you're normal tall, not like crazy tall. Like 6'1 is hard for a girl.
Right, but you're normal tall.
But I'm normal tall. So yeah, it is nice to not have to alter my clothes, to be honest. You know, I'm not a big fan of altering unless you really have to. And you really have to, and I get that. But I think the most important thing when you get dressed is you have to be comfortable or it shows on your face. And my approach to styling and dressing, it's the same, actually. It's not even similar. It's the same as your approach to makeup. I want everyone to look like themselves, but a little better, a little more polished, a little pulled together.
I love the little. Like, I want people to look like themselves, but a little better.
Just a little. Yeah, I don't want people to be like, oh, Bobby Brown had a makeover. Like, right. You don't need a makeover. You know, you're almost there, and then you just need to put a little effort for those events or whatever it is that when you feel you want to, you know?
But what I love about your approach, I hired you recently to come into my closet and just help me edit it. I don't even remember the last time that you and I did it, okay?
It's been a few years.
And you're really funny. You shamed me. You ridiculed me. You laughed at me.
I did not.
You did. You took these one pair of pants.
Oh
I think they were Eileen Fisher, and you're like,
oh, no.
Are you kidding me? I bought them because they were really thin, and I thought when it's like 100 degrees, and you're like, are you trying to be your mother?
Yeah.
And so I did. So I got rid of a lot of stuff. When you left the house, I went back and shopped. I took a few things back into my closet, And when I put them on to wear, I looked at myself and I got rid of them. You were 100% right.
Thank you. You know, when you start editing your closet, you sort of go down a rabbit hole, because the more you get rid of, the more you realize all the other stuff, you might as well just get rid of that too. What are we saving stuff for? If you love it and you have something new, wear it. And I have to force myself to do this too, because you're in a rush, you know, you throw on the same old thing. But, you know, if you're going to spend money on clothes, you should just wear them and enjoy them.
And so where do people start? Like, where can you go into your closet? What is the first thing you do?
Well, you have to really look at everything, and you have to. People are not going to like this. You have to try it on. That's why when, you know, I know a few times you may say, oh, Deb, just go and edit. No, I need to see them on you, because you know what? Maybe those pants look good on you. They don't. Listen, it doesn't have to be expensive, but I like nice quality clothes. I do like the quality of The Row, you know, as opposed to some other brands. So you can really see it in the fit and the way it feels on your body. So what's better than that? You know, the cut is right and the feeling is right. So that's the problem I have with lower quality clothes, really.
Lot of people cannot afford The Row.
Right.
Which
I totally get, which brings me to another point, is that fashion can be expensive. I know that. But style is free. Everybody can have style. I work with kids that are just starting out, whether they're assistants, you know, to makeup artists and stylists and, you know, or even production assistants. Sometimes I'm like, oh my God, look at this guy. He's got the coolest style right now. You know, it can be how you put it together. You just need to figure out what your style is. Listen, some people have no style. They don't care about it. It's not important to them. I get it. Like,
schlubby's a style, like, now. Ooh, you're so schlubby.
No one is aspiring to be schlubby. No, but the people that are, you know, wear a uniform, that's okay too. Because as long as that uniform is your style, which you kind of have, Bobby.
If I buy one more navy or black sweater, actually right now I have four.
Well, I just made you buy a bunch.
I know, but I have four black sweaters and I must have 12 or 15 navy ones right now.
Yes.
And what t-shirt are you wearing?
My favorite t-shirt right now is Base Range. They're
never
so good.
It.
It's, I want to say Australian. I don't know if it's called Base or Base Range, but their t-shirts are very thin and they're really beautiful quality. Like, it looks similar to the ones
cap
from The Row.
Cap sleeves or short
Never
sleeves.
Cap sleeves.
I'm
not.
Everyone
like
does
cap.
I don't either.
I like just a regular.
Me too, but it's hard to find.
Classic. Oh, and Redone makes great t-shirts. They're more like Hanes old school cotton, like a little thicker. But I like the Base Range because they're very thin. I actually have one on.
Oh.
And they don't like bunch up.
Right.
You know?
So we talked about, when you're tall, you can get away with anything. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about some different shapes and what suggestions you have. Let's talk about petite, short women.
Okay.
What do short women have to know?
I think it's important when you're petite to try to be tonal if you like that. That's the easiest one. Like, if you know, if you wear all navy, you're not cutting yourself in half at the waist. If you want to look taller, you'll look better if you're wearing all white or all
well,
navy.
Well, most 5 feet women would like to look at least 5'2".
Well, maybe you're happy that you're petite.
No.
My daughter is petite, by
How
the way.
How tall is your daughter?
I think she's 5'2".
5'2".
My older one is 5'2", and my little one is almost the same size as her. But my older daughter loves being petite. She loves it. She's like, oh, I'm so glad I'm not tall.
Like you, right?
Yeah, that's what she says. And I'm like, okay, whatever.
And what about women that have an athletic body, like have a bigger athletic body?
Yes.
What are some tips?
It's always good to buy bigger and have it tailored down to you. You know, I hate tight clothes on anyone. I really am against it. I think it looks like vulgar almost. And, you know, I like my jeans to fit. I don't wear baggy jeans per se, but I like my clothing to fit. I don't like it to be, like, tight. And also, so uncomfortable. Like, why would you do that to yourself?
Well, it's hard when you're short to wear things that are too big, because then you look schlumpy.
Yes.
So it's got to be fitted.
Yes, it has to be fitted. For muscular bodies, I think it's important to get to try to get a size that fits comfortably or a little bigger, and then you can always nip it in at your waist if you need to. I think it's just has to feel good on you. You can't. You know, and you have to watch the sleeves always. Everyone has to watch the sleeves. Tall people have to make sure the sleeves aren't too short because it looks skimpy. And smaller people have to make sure that they're not too long because it looks like you have your mom's jacket on. So tailoring is important. And like one of your little hacks that you do is great is that you happen to like your sleeves rolled up on your blazers and it's stylish. And then you can put fun linings inside, which we've done before, like hot pink or whatever. So it's fun to do that kind of stuff. Oh, by the way, for petite girls also, go to the boys department, because like if you go to Brooks Brothers and buy a boy's jacket, it'll have sort of 3/4 sleeves on you and the body will fit. But then you can have these cute little 3/4 sleeves so you can show all your bracelets and, you know, it's a cute look. I love that.
Sometimes it works. Sometimes it works. Other times you just look like a chubby boy.
It might. Yeah. Sometimes you need to alter the jacket too. But it depends.
So what about plus women?
I think you just need to embrace that waist, you know? Almost everybody has a smaller waist than, you know, their shoulders and hips. I think for curvy girls, you know, listen, my mom is a curvy girl and she always wears a belt. She loves a belt. I mean, her waist is so tiny. I always say to my mom, dressing is like dressing Kim Kardashian because my mom has a tiny waist, but she has a butt and a chest.
Well, I cannot wait to see this picture of your mother.
I'm going to show you.
Yes, your closet and your mother. I've written it down.
And I do have other clients and that I dress that I think it's really important to invest in a beautiful belt also, by the way.
So I have a speed round for you.
Sure.
Okay, so what's the last clothing item you bought?
I bought a pair of white Chanel boots last week.
Okay.
When
are you
going to
wear white Chanel boots?
I wore them yesterday.
Really?
I was going to wear them today, but I have to run around after this.
But aren't they dirt?
No, they're patent. Hello,
white?
Life hack.
Okay,
wipe them off with Windex.
White patent boots.
But I have several pairs of white boots.
Okay.
That are buttery leather.
I just cannot wait to do this closet. Oh my God.
They're white. Yeah, no, I think that was, I was trying to think of literally the last thing I bought because it was probably like yesterday, but the boots are the thing that I can remember.
Who's the last celebrity you dressed?
Brooke Shields.
What is your least favorite trend right now?
The giant shoes. I can't with the weird. The grandpa sneakers went straight into like the monster, like ravey platform. I don't know what's happening out there. I tried them on because.
Oh, you would look ridiculous. You'd look like Herman Munster.
Herman Munster.
Yeah. And I look like
it's
Herman
terrible.
Munster.
Terrible. And I have to say, that's the only thing that my husband is like, oh, God, really? Like when I wear crazy shoes that are not like sexy, pretty, crazy shoes, he's like, really? Well, you know, part of my whole style evolution was always like mixing. Even when I worked at Ralph Lauren, I used to kind of get in trouble from my manager because I would wear like ripped Levi's with like a military jacket and velvet loafers. And you were supposed to wear all Ralph when you worked there. So he would be like, why don't you have like suit pants on? But that was what Ralph loved about me is that I dressed more the way he dressed in some ways.
What is your either skincare or makeup item you cannot live without?
Blush. I love blush. I mean, I'm a blush girl, but I always have something on my lips too.
Okay. So where can people learn more about you? Where can people learn from you? And how can people reach you?
My Instagram. At Debs Watson.
At Debs.
Debs with an S.
Yes.
Everyone forgets the S. And my hashtag is styled by Deborah Watson. So like all my work is on there.
And I'm going to add one more question. Where are you going to have your next commercial success?
I'm working on that. I'm not sure at the moment. I have some ideas floating around. But I love your advice that you gave me last time I saw you. You said, do you remember?
No.
You said, do them all. One of them will work.
Yeah, but it's the truth.
It is the truth.
Well, people always say, like, you know, what's the secret of success? I'm like, you put one foot
trying
down.
Trying stuff.
Then you put the other foot down, and you keep going, and you keep doing it. And eventually, it becomes something.
I know.
Or, you know, you shift, and it becomes something else.
Yeah, or you drop it and move on.
Yeah.
And that's something that I admire in people when they, you know, when they're working on something, and it's like, oh, this wasn't really the right move, then just get out of it and move on.
Oh, thanks, Deb.
Okay, thank you so much. Always great to see you.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.